Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 17, Denver, Colorado Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Man, I think I'm going to have to close my door because this sounds weird. I hear you, and then I hear you again. I just get up and close this door. It's because it's like I keep. It's like, hello, is an echo in here?
Well, it's the same. It's the same for you. So, for those of y'all tuned in, welcome. As you can see, backgrounds look a little bit different today because I'm actually downstairs from where Yanni is in Yanni's house in Atlanta.
Hey, how is it down there?
It's quiet. It smells good since you're not down here. So there's that.
Oh, that's what we're doing. We're starting off like that. Yeah. So a lot happening here, man. And I appreciate you making this trip to Atlanta as we get ready for this road trip and to the country, going out of the country
to the great state.
No, Texas. It's the country of Texas.
It's great. Yeah. Great state of Texas. You're good. One of us. One of us.
Well, I'm going to a different state than you. I mean, you're in the state of Austin. I'm going to the state of Houston. So, yeah.
Well, regardless, I flew up here because I didn't want my boy to have to drive by himself from Atlanta all the way to Houston. So he has a driver. I'm going to help drive and keep him company. And we'll probably shoot some clips and stuff too, right? Kind of journal and vlog it a little bit and put some of those things out.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun. It'll be a nice 15-hour. Well, we're leaving Friday right around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon and should get into Houston by 7, 8 a.m. because we roll straight through. That's how we do it.
Like Yaya says, boys vacate? No, actually this one's, like I said, a little different. Terrell, you know, understands the concept of the role and he sticks to it. He's like, hey, I know you still have some things to pack, but I came to drive. That's all I'm doing.
That's what I mean. I signed up to drive, right? If you were rich and you had a chauffeur, you're not going to have the chauffeur come in the house and make dinner. The chauffeur's job is to drive. That's what I'm here to do. Drive.
Look, Toya says ATL to Houston. Wow, that's not fun. That's because you've never traveled with us.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll find a way to make it fun. We're going to have some adventures along the way, but no, I'm looking forward to it, man. I couldn't let you make this trip by yourself. Plus, I'm excited that you're going to be 2.5 hours away from Austin to Houston. So there's going to be a lot of things that we can do more in person than we've done over the last 3 years. So this will be fun.
All right. So let's see if I get it right. Because it says, hi, fam. I'm sick, but I'm here. Thank you for being here with us. By the way, and thank you for correcting me. If I ever mispronounce your name, trust me, please tell me. And says, if I get it right, San May. Is that correct?
If you can read, that's correct. Yes.
See, this trip is going to be something else.
She made it easy for you.
Look, Toya's like, look, my boyfriend is trying to drive from Dallas to Miami, but absolutely not. Hey, I feel you. I am not the driver. I'm the one to jump on a plane quickly. I grew up on an island. I was born in St. Kitts, grew up in Montserrat. It was 13 and a half square miles. If I was in the car for an hour, that means we drove around the whole island. So staying in a car driving for a long time is nothing that I like to do. So this is going to be one heck of a trip. And thank you, Sam May says, hey, that's right. So thank you.
Yeah, I remember when I drove from Austin to Lincoln, Nebraska, I did that by myself. And that was 15 hours. So after going through it once, I'm like, I can't let my boy go through that by himself because that's not fun. Well, and pulling your car on a carport, man, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Trust me, I really do appreciate it. Thank you, Sinan's fan. And look, we know why you're here, so let's get to it. Nikki B's trying to jump ahead of us. I told y'all Chloe don't like Michael. Are you sure? Because I watched the episode too. And if I only watched part of it, I'd have been right there with you. But we did see the whole episode. So let's go ahead and start from the beginning.
And real quick, I'm glad Nikki B is here because I have some questions for you after this episode. I'm like, hey, Nikki. Boy. You still feeling Michael now or what? So we'll come back to that later.
Yeah, like she really was ready for Michael last episode. So we'll see. Well, let's see. Matter of fact, let's just start off right there with Chloe and Michael, right? It's day four of marriage, and apparently good sleep comes with fresh snowfall, right?
Well, yeah, especially when you go to bed at 7:45 in the evening and sleep all night. So it's really interesting. They had their honeymoon, and she was even saying this on last week's episode, but even the beginning of this one, she kind of wanted some downtime. You know, you think you've been with somebody 24/7, you kind of want to be by yourself. Well, from what I understand, that's not what marriage is. You're kind of with a person and they're in your space and you're in their space. So it's funny to me how all these couples kind of freak out about how much time they're around somebody. I mean, that's what you signed up for. But she got a good night's sleep, and I think she slept hard enough that there was no, you know, there was none of those this time. So she got a good sleep, which means I think she's feeling more comfortable with Michael. So that's a win for Michael.
But, okay, you know, here's the thing about it. She's been with this man for the last 3 days. You know how long it takes. Sometimes you just that weekend, you're just like, it's only Friday? Are we sure? Somebody coming to stay for the weekend, you're like, son of a, really? Really? So I understand, because she just met this guy. She doesn't know him. She just met him, right? So
right.
I get it.
Yeah, that's why when you get a hotel, you know, you're in that one room for a few days, you say, I'll be back. It means you're going to go downstairs to the lobby and use the bathroom down there for 30 minutes, just get you some peace and quiet time before you can be interrupted or disturbed. But again, when you sign up for Married at First Sight, I think that's what comes with the territory, is you're going to be around somebody 24/7, normally for 8 weeks. Yeah. In this case, what? They probably got 2 weeks, something like that.
I want to know how they're making them catch up to everybody else so fast that this is, and I think that's the thing we have to look at when we look at these two, right? Is they have a very unreal and abnormal experience, because 8 weeks is a short period of time to get to know somebody and decide whether you want to stay with them for the rest of your life or not, right? Especially somebody that you didn't get a chance to say, you know what? I'm interested to see about this person. But someone that you get then and like, oh, I do. Okay. Right. So consider what they're going through. It's less than that. So this it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of goes. But and there's so much more to get through with them. Yes, we see some of these. We see some of these. And we're going to get to a lot of these comments. Like Chow Cole says, the producers felt the season was so boring. They classed Chloe, a neurotic type A, with Michael, a sensitive metrosexual. We're going to get to a lot of that stuff, because there are a lot of questions in here, but are you really just putting what your thoughts were onto this couple before it even happens? Because this couple, they could be the last hope of season 17 for real. Because look at this one. We thought these were going to be the guys. Becca and Austin, we just knew they were going to be the couple. And instead, we get what we have now, and Austin hoping for a relaxing time at the retreat. Or at least some time for them to retreat to the bedroom. Why is he teasing Becca like this?
Well, I think Austin's excited that he's going to Von Miller's old house. So he is a big Broncos fan. Yes. And so, I mean, think of it this way. If you get a chance to be in like some type of celebrity, sports, entertainment, athlete, whatever the case may be, you get a chance to be in their house and have sex for the first time in their house. I think that's what Austin is thinking. She's like, yeah, we're going to practice some of the stuff Dr. Pia said in Von Miller's old house. Right. So I think he's really excited about that. And you could tell that Becca's excited. And I think she's really, you know, ready to finally seal the deal. At least that's what she hopes.
Yeah, but she's been hoping for a while. And it has not looked good. We thought this couple had it. You were the first to call it out when they were on the honeymoon in the boat. And you're like, he's almost dipping back into the water. And I think the rest of us were like, no, they seem happy, right? Mm-hmm. Apparently not. Now, as they're setting all this up, we get to the non-couple, Claire and Cameron, and she's headed to the retreat and still pretending to be missing Cameron. Why is she even going?
I don't understand why you're going either. Like, there's no way I would go to a couple's retreat solo.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't do it. It'd be one thing if y'all are going to Vegas. Okay, I can go solo because then I might meet other people and I can catch y'all later. You're at the couple's retreat in this house. Why are you even going? And she is really trying to, I really want to understand the story that we've not heard anything from Cam. Not right. One little video real quick or anything like that. Remember he did that one video and he was trying to get his heart rate down. So right. After he had his procedure, we haven't seen anything from Cam. And I really want to know, because part of me feels like Cam doesn't want to be bothered with mm-hmm. Claire. Or is Claire really trying to connect with him? Or is this all for camera? I don't know.
Because, yeah, we saw him on the steps. Then we saw him in the car right before he went in for the procedure. And you're right. All we've heard from him is from her.
And do we really trust him? From her? Yeah, see, I tried to get a hold of Cam. Like, did you really try? did you really try?
You know, it's interesting because as we're getting to this couples retreat, the next couple, and as they're saying in the chat, really, are we talking about couples or non-couples? Seriously, because Emily and Brennan, as they're prepping to go, the first question I have is, why is Brennan so reluctant to help Emily with her bags? Seriously.
That's what you do when you don't care. When you're with someone that you don't care about, you're not worried about their bags. You're like, hey, you grown. I've worked out with you. You're in good shape. You can carry these bags by yourself. And I think maybe
in soccer. You're good. You got
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that's what Brennan's doing. But, you know, Emily is not hopeful that their relationship's going to get any better. He still hasn't put much effort in. So she's just figuring, hey, this is a girl's trip mm-hmm. for me, even though Brennan's coming. But I'm just going to have fun with the girls. And I think that's all she can do at this point, because I don't see it turning around.
How uninteresting was that car ride? I mean, Brennan just did not care what Emily was saying. As they're driving up there, he's just like, whatever. Doesn't care.
Well, she said, what did she say? I think Orion and Chloe are going to get there Sunday. And he's like, I think you mean Michael and Chloe.
Yes.
And, you know, they're talking about how was the honeymoon. And Brennan had a good point. He goes, I bet it was great and drama-free. She said, why you say that? Well, it was just the two of them. There weren't any of the other couples around. And then Emily is like, well, I guess it's all drama-free until it's not. Right. Which happened for them.
I'm about to say, so what did any of the other couples have to do with them with the drama?
I don't know. Again, maybe the reunion is going to shed a little bit more light on what happened at the honeymoon. But we all know something went down and we just haven't heard it yet.
Now, the one thing I will say, Brennan does say that he and Emily are on the same page. And I do see this, and so I must applaud them for that. They're both on the same page as to what they expect to get out of the retreat. Nothing.
Nothing.
Plain and simple.
They
know what they want.
Look, I'm going to go hang out. You go hang out, and we're going to leave it at that. Don't touch me. Friends. I won't touch you.
We can do this every weekend. this couple's not trying to go that same route. They're trying to, you know, spice things up a little bit. And they get back to their apartment, Chloe and Michael. They get back to the apartment and they both seem to like the space. Now they're finally getting to see the space. And they actually, I think, probably got the best apartment out of everybody. I mean, do you see this, you know, ceiling to floor, windows? They get to look out right across the city. I'm like, this is beautiful.
It was cool. Because remember when I went to Denver after Christmas, mm-hmm. I went to Union Station. So that apartment that they're in that looks out the window and sees Union Station, I'm like, I was right there. So I had been somewhere around that spot. But their apartment looked cool. I think Michael's looking forward to getting to see what the real world is like. I mean, their honeymoon to me was lame, but it was still a honeymoon. Mm-hmm. But it's not the real world. So now they get into the real world of it. And, you know, Michael was considerate about, you know, picking out sinks, letting her pick which one she wanted. And she was nice enough to let him pick the closet that he wanted.
He knew what he wanted. He wanted the closet space. He said, oh, which sink would you? You know what? I'll give you all this space.
Yeah.
Now let's go take a look at the closets.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was nice enough. Let him pick. And of course, he took the bigger one. But I think he thought it was nice that she asked. And then as they're sitting there talking, you know, Michael has a pretty decorative eye for what to put in their apartment. So I'm curious to see what his place is going to look like at this point. But for me, the thing about this particular scene, mm-hmm. Chloe's done. Like, she wants to be by herself and recharge her battery. Mm-hmm. She really wants some alone time. And she's just trying to push on through. So kudos to her, because I can totally relate.
Yo, Miss J said, this chat is fire. Let me tell you something. This chat is always fire. We go back and watch this just to be able to read the chat, because there's no way for us to read the chat and actually make it through the show. But the chat is always on fire. That's why we love you guys. And by the way, while you're here, do us a favor. Please hit that like button. And if you're not subscribed, hit the subscribe button and hit the bell for notifications. All right. Now, here's the thing. Did you find it kind of funny that Michael said he wants this, now it's going to give them a chance to really get to challenge each other's boundaries? Was this him foretelling the future?
You know, I don't know what he meant by that. You know, knowing what we know about Michael, I'm thinking that, hey, there's a method to his madness when he talks. Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if kind of what you're alluding to is what he was talking about.
Right.
But I do agree. This is, now that you're in the real world, just give you a chance to feel each other out, see what it's like, how each other deals with work, comes home, mm-hmm. the daily routines. That's what in I'm your, thinking. You know, in I'm it? Thinking that, but mm-hmm. maybe he, you know, once he sees her apartment and some of the jewelry she has, maybe that opened up his eyes on boundaries he wanted to try to test.
By the way, Nikki B wanted to point out, as we're giving Michael a little hell for taking the bigger closet, said, hey, Chloe admitted she didn't have many clothes, so she didn't need the big closet. That is true.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a totally good point, Nikki, that he, you know, she didn't bring a whole lot. She knew he would have a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But I was knowing that they're going to go back to their apartment, I thought maybe she'd be bringing more stuff and maybe would want the bigger closet. But, mm-hmm. you know, could
Here's,
be wrong.
The other thing that that she did do, Chloe did admit that normally coming back from a vacation, she'd want to go home and just decompress. And now she can't because she's stuck with this guy who she just yeah. married. And you can see just a little bit like, uh-oh, is this an orange flag or is this a yellow flag? It's not a red flag yet, but what do we see?
Well, I think that Michael's a talker. He's a conversationalist. And so he wants to keep a lot of that going, where I think maybe she's probably a little bit more introverted. And so she needs to recharge her social battery before she keeps engaging. But this is a lot of a process. And then you also got to factor in cameras, producers, all the different things around you. Yeah, I would feel a little stifled if it were me.
Chow Cole says, I would be the same as Chloe. I need a few hours to decompress alone. Not days like Brennan. Actually, Brennan wanted 7 weeks to date. They just didn't let him get that rest.
But I'm going to go decompress back in Boulder. You stay here in Denver. When I'm done decompressing, I'll come back.
So let's get back to the retreat real quick before we get back to Chloe and Michael, right? And first couple to arrive, Becca and Austin. And Austin is excited as they go ahead and explore this place.
Well, the house is dope. And my thought is, Austin, you knew what bed you wanted. Why didn't you pick that from the beginning?
Right.
I didn't understand that. You knew he already had an idea what he wanted to do in that house. He should already have picked it. But I thought the house was pretty dope.
So Emily and Brennan show up and we find out Brennan laid some ground rules. Get your own damn room. You stay over there, woman. Yeah. Don't you dare bring your ass over here.
Yeah, he hit her with the buddy. Hey, separate rooms? All right, then, buddy. Pound it up. All right, then, dog. I'll see you at dinner.
Yo, for real, like, what is it? I was like, So Austin and goes to show Brennan the rest of the house. Emily and Becca talking about their lack of sex and, you know, green for luck or green to get lucky or whatever the hell they were talking about.
Yeah, well, we know that. Well, Emily's saying she needs luck of the mm-hmm. Irish. It's not going to happen.
No
matter what, she can have four leaf clovers or anything she wants. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then Becca just wants to get lucky.
Yeah. Well, Nikki says Becca is cringy, though. She has no sex appeal. She's like a frat dude talking about sex. Look, the woman wants it. And Austin should just go ahead and give it to her. Like Audrey says, Austin's a joker. Shantae says Austin wants out, too. And Miss J says Austin is full of, okay, I'm assuming why I know what that cursy over the mouth means.
Well, Austin might be, but here's what I was thinking after watching this episode. If the roles were reversed, do we think that not only the cast, but also all of us in the chat would be encouraging Becca to sleep with Austin because he really wants to have sex with her? And why wouldn't she just sleep with him? I just don't think we would do that to a woman. I think it's, if the roles were reversed, it wouldn't happen. So I think that's why Austin's taking a lot of the heat about, hey, why would you not sleep with her? What's wrong with you?
Right.
What's wrong with it? All the different things people have been commenting, not only in our chat, but also
questioning the man's sexuality.
Exactly.
Take his time.
Exactly. Jeez. Exactly.
Let that man move slowly.
But I disagree when people say that Austin's not attracted to Becca, because I don't know many men that are not attracted to somebody that'll still kiss them a lot.
Kissing is sometimes way more intimate than sex.
Right. So I just feel like if you're not attracted to somebody, why are you doing all that lovey-dovey kissing with them? Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be Brennan and Emily. Yeah, Brennan's not interested. Mm-hmm. And his body language shows it. Yes. But Austin is kissing on her and all that, so it's confusing.
Shante says, Becca's thirsty. Stop pressing that man to sleep with you. While Mimi says, look, since Austin won't say it, let me say it. Becca, he don't want to have sex, so leave him alone. God damn it. I'm tired of hearing about it. Now that's her inner Bernie Mac coming out right there, Mimi.
Yeah. But it is what it is. But again, we wouldn't be saying this if Austin really wanted to have sex and Becca didn't. So thank you, Shante.
Shante says, I agree, Terrell. People need to stop pressing him to sleep with her. Yeah. And here's the thing. Miss B said, hey, Karen refused to sleep with Miles. Wow. In that first 8 weeks. Yes, exactly. We all thought Karen was going to say no to Miles. And they made it. At least to a point, but yeah, still.
This was one of those seasons I didn't watch.
That was what, New Orleans, right? I believe it was New Orleans, yeah. Like them too, but you know, hey, yeah. Hey, crossing shows here. Nikki B says Becca is sliding into Lamar territory. She was there first. Let's get that clear. She was there first. That is hilarious. Well, now what happens next here? Orion arrives.
And why?
Yeah, and here's the thing about Orion coming. I'm talking about he's thinking about having a conversation with Lauren. Why? He wants to smooth things over. Why?
I don't understand either. I mean, like, let it go. Once you've hurt somebody, mm-hmm. you just got to let it go. Because every time Orion keeps picking the scab mm-hmm. with Lauren. Anytime he engages with her in person,
yeah.
let it go. But I'm like, Orion, why even come on the couple's retreat? Like, you, out of all people, I don't need to see Claire there, but you have no business being there, in my opinion.
Speaking of Claire, so Claire shows up, her and her mom, Jeans, and gives better hugs to Orion and Brennan than she ever gave to Cameron, the man that she misses so much.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's, as they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
No.
Maybe the fact that Cameron's not there, she's maybe feeling something. But she had a good dude. She chose not to go with it. And now she's kind of taking it personal, the fact that he's not engaging with her. Which, why would he want to?
Right.
You dump me or embarrass me like this. I don't need you to check on me. I'm good.
That man showed up with a whole floral shop of roses for you, and you still gave him the church hug. Yeah, he don't want nothing to do with you. Well, Lauren shows up and disappoints all of us because she's going, oh, you know, I'm disappointed that Orion didn't reach out like he said he was going to after the... Shut up.
Do you think, and this is also for the people in the chat, mm-hmm. do you think Lauren and Orion consummated? And maybe that's why Lauren is so hooked on this guy?
Wow, wait a minute. Okay. So, because we've said that we thought maybe Emily and Brenda, but you're saying, what if Lauren and Orion? And that's interesting because she is kind of hung up on him. She keeps going back to that. He keeps embarrassing her every time they get back.
So I'm really wondering, like, because I don't understand why she's so hung up on him if their time frame was really short. right? They didn't really spend a whole lot of time together. Then you had the whole other issue with the joke and all that, and that just spiraled everything downhill. But she seemed so hung up on somebody that she was only really with for 3 or 4 days. Right. So I'm just wondering, maybe they did some things and she feels a lot more connected to him.
Toya says, no, I don't think so. Kitty says, that's a gross thought. Your frat brother Charles says, no. And Shoshana says, oh, maybe that girth card got swiped. Or maybe she just brushed past the wallet and was like, hey, need to see about that. And maybe that's why she's hung up.
And it could be a gross thought. I mean, it's not something I'm going to put in my alone time memory bank. Mm-hmm. But I just don't understand why she's so hung up on this guy.
Yeah.
If nothing that much really happened. So I just feel like it's weird that she seemed so, unless this is the producers and trying to make this being the way it is, which I could see that too, where, hey, we want you to talk about y'all's relationship and where do y'all stand and all that stuff. So maybe this is all for show too.
It could be, like Ariadne says, could be, but she could just have low self-esteem, Terrell.
That's possible.
She said that. She said she needs affirmation, remember?
She does. Mm-hmm. She does. But like, once someone says they're done with you, why do you need affirmation after that?
Audrey says, don't think so. And Jonda says, great question, Terrell. Yuck, though. That was in all caps, too. Look at Sarah coming just with the green, sick green emoji. Hey, Katie says, hey, might be that girl certificate. Hey, you never know.
Could be.
Well, I mean, that's a thought. I don't think they did it either, but the way she keeps, she came in strong and then let that guard down again. And then she, every time now, it's just the same thing. Like, why are you just, don't be disappointed. It's okay. That man don't want you. Move on. Move on, sister. Stand strong.
Well, you know, Lauren says that she really doesn't have a desire to want to talk with Orion or really have a deep conversation with him. And then Orion, she says she's ready to move forward. Yeah. Then Orion comes in with his BS about, I'm happy, Lauren, that you're here and all this other stuff. And I want to start a new chapter. And I'm just like, dude, just leave her alone.
Leave her alone.
Hang out with everybody. Be cordial. Be respectful. Mm-hmm. But leave her alone.
Now, because and a lot of this conversation between them is not happening at this family dinner, as they're calling it. And because when it was asked, like, what is everybody looking forward to? Claire's like, well, you know, looking forward to growing at, you know, the retreat. It would just take couples out because, you know, not a couple here. So and she was more right than she knew when she said that about it's just a retreat, not a couple's retreat, because the couples there weren't even together.
Right. Right. So far, the only couple really together is Chloe and Michael, and you could say Austin and Becca. Outside of that,
and Chloe and Michael weren't even there yet. But what'd you think of Emily saying, you know, she's looking forward to, you know, growing the friendship between her and Brendan, and she booked an ATV trip?
Well, what's funny is, you know, she booked the ATV trip, and I think it might have been Austin or somebody that was like, for everybody? And she's like, well, no, just me and Brennan,
right?
Because she's still trying and good for her. And I like her thought process because they did the event on the water. Mm-hmm. They did the event snow skiing, I think. Or were they the ones skiing? No, they weren't the ones skiing on the slopes. But they did something. But she's looking at the elements.
Did they go horseback riding?
I believe they did that. But I was looking at how she kind of planned it with the elements. I'm like, that's really nice. And then Austin said, you know, I hope y'all crash or you get a lot of rash on your saddle, get some rash on your butt. And I'm just thinking to myself, Austin, I don't know if you're going to really appreciate the fact that you said that.
Yeah.
A little later in this episode.
So he put, as we say to Cameron, he put goat mud on him. So he put a curse on him.
He spoke it into existence.
He put a root on them. As
yeah.
In your neck of the woods. you know, it's interesting how in the middle of the night, things kind of take a turn. You know, there was no jumping up in the middle of the night because we had to retreat and Chloe and Michael haven't gotten there yet. But there was an attempt to leave. It looked like things are going to be good. They're in the bed, Becca and Austin. Things are looking good. Then 1 hour later, Austin makes a break for it. What happened here?
So apparently Austin was a little tipsy. And was drunk. And of course, he had this vision of having sex in Von Miller's old bed. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying, hey, I'm going to go sleep in the other room. You can come if you want. Yeah, that's what every woman wants to hear.
Right.
Hey, I'm going to go do this here. If you want, you can come. Damned if you do, damned if you don't, whatever. And so, of course, Becca wasn't feeling it. And I think Austin has to realize, and I'm sure, you know, love to hear some of the ladies' opinion.
Yeah.
Becca doesn't drink. And so do you want to have sex for the first time with your partner while they're hammered and you're sober?
Well, as a man, I'll say no. Apparently, I don't. As a woman, Becca says, I'll take it however I can get it.
Yeah, I just don't think that's what you should do. Your first time to, I don't want to be, it'd be one thing if you're both drunk and oops, we had drunk sex, right? Mm-hmm. But I couldn't be sober and you're drunk and we've never have crossed that bridge.
Right.
And then you're like, I'm going to go into the room. Terrell, you should come. I'm like, no, you go ahead.
Well, let's be fair. He didn't say that either. He just kind of like, hey, come on if you want. And to her point, she was like, look, that didn't sound very inviting. Now, had he been like, hey, we should go to the master bedroom, she'd have been should have been right behind him.
I feel like Austin was saying, hey, look, I'm going to go in Von Miller's old room and I'm going to have an orgasm. Uh-huh. You can come if you want, but I'm going to go have some fun. I'm going to go in there and have some fun. You're welcome to join or you can stay here. Whatever you want to do. I think Austin had a plan.
There's a lot of speculation in the chat right now. Kitty says she must have touched his soft crotch.
Wow.
Sarah says Austin went limp. The way y'all are shaming this man for showing some restraint is really sickening, ladies. I just want to point this out. Because Nikki, at least you went both ways. Said Nikki couldn't get it up. I mean, Austin couldn't get it up. Or something smelled.
Whatever it is, if Austin really wanted to have sex with Becca, we already know he could have a long time ago. It didn't have to be this retreat. Mm-hmm. But if he wanted to do it first time in Von Miller's old bed, there's a way you could have did that. You didn't even have to get that drunk. Could have just been like, hey, 10 o'clock, meet me in this room.
Yeah.
Don't wear anything.
Nelson Aspan says he was having sex with himself instead of with a woman. GTFOH. Yeah. Hey, Sarah has a great question, though. Wonder if they went to third base at least. Now, okay, let's go with the baseball reference. How far around the base do you think they've gone? We know they got to first base because we've seen them kiss.
Okay.
Are they only hitting singles every time, or what's going on here?
Well, what are we all considering first, second, and third base? I just want to make sure I'm aligned with what you think second and third base are.
Okay, second base would be some touching around, and third base would be everything except. Maybe. I don't know.
When you say everything except.
It's been a long time since I had to play baseball.
Is it? When you say everything except, I'm like, what's everything?
That's a great question, too. Maybe it's a rounding third and get stopped. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Ladies, you tell us, what is third base for you? First base, we can all agree, is kissing. Second base, are we assuming like heavy petting under the clothes? Top or bottom, possibly, but what
are
is third?
Are you reading Ariadne's comic? She said he might have done heavy petting.
No, I didn't. I just said it. I was just like, heavy petting, second base, but like, what is third base? And that would help me determine if they did it. Did somebody put pegging?
Remember, yeah, Pink Butterfly says, remember, he likes pegging. You know, maybe that's third base.
Hold on. How the High Vibe said third base is face the nation. Is that what we're calling it?
Oh, y'all are off the chain, man.
Oh, Jesus. Goodness. I'm going to use the Faith, face the nation.
Faith says third is oral. So see, it's changed over the years as to what first, second, and third is. But let's
see,
Melissa
even
has her partner too. Third, as Sinan's fans, third base, he put the tip in. Yeah.
Third is hands under the clothes.
Really?
See? Wow. Some of us said that was second, but that's third base here. So, but I don't think they faced the nation, High Vibe. I personally don't think they've done that part.
Yo, why did CXM say, I thought third base was intercourse? Yo, well, amazing how different it is for everybody.
Please tell us what a home run is. What is it when you come home? If probably, third base probably, is intercourse.
Probably Austin's pegging. What the heck is
going on? Oh, goodness.
Here?
If third base is intercourse, what is a home run? Please tell me.
Black Tornado says Face the Nation is in the dugout.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Robin, wow.
So Robin is bringing us right back around and goes, all right, stop. He's probably still at first base.
I think he's still at the tee playing t-ball. I don't think he's really.
And by the way, Toya says, hey, a home run, that's an orgasm.
No, this is the best one here. Nikki B says a home run is only done on his birthday.
I'm going to tell you all this real quick, ladies. That once a year does not work. Stop.
It depends
it.
On
Stop.
What it is. It depends on what it is.
You better stop that nonsense. Stop it. Just that is not a birthday gift.
For some, it could be. Who knows? We're not even drinking. Like, this is. Y'all are hilarious. That's what makes this great. Is y'all are hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Shall we move on?
Yes. Yeah.
Y'all just took this a completely different way. Oh, dear God.
But I learned something today. I learned something.
Remember that comment earlier? The chat. This chat is fire? Yes. This is the chat.
Yeah.
Dear God. All right. Let's clean things up and go back to Chloe. Is it really cleaning up? Going back to Chloe and Michael.
Let's see if they face the nation.
He faced Chloe waking up with some coffee. They said, it probably is terrible because I don't really make coffee, but I just know this is something you like. Good move or what?
Well, I think he's very considerate, and he's shown that ever since from the time that she walked up to the altar, he's been nothing but that, very considerate with her. And I think she says at this point that, you know, she got a good hard sleep and, you know, it just enjoyed. She was a little stressed and was upset and crying the night before, but she had a chance to sleep and now she feels at peace and she's happy. And she even says, hey, I told you I was going to be a little bit overwhelmed with all this stuff. And then Michael, you know, said, hey, don't be so hard on yourself. And I know I look like Iron Man. And I just started laughing at that point.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything he said after that. Michael, I was like, yeah. Stop it. Stop.
Yeah, a little Tony Stark action, but I just laughed. But I mean, I get what he's trying to say is like, look, we all show it differently. He's feeling some of the same things too. Mm-hmm. And he just shows it differently. I think Michael shows his feeling overwhelmed by engaging in more conversation, where Chloe, when she's overwhelmed, she needs a little break.
Space.
And maybe that's what could be causing this conflict. And even Chloe says there couldn't be a better match than Michael for this process. Well let's see if she still has that same energy when she sees his apartment.
Well, think about that, though. I mean, she says, hey, I was nervous. I was this. And he made her feel comfortable all over again. He's been.
Yeah.
Yo, Michael has game until he gets comfortable. Then the game gets tossed out the window because you get too comfortable. And that's what he's getting with her right now. And this is where, it gets a little uncomfortable because he actually wants Chloe to brace for impact as they go to visit each other's place. They go to hers first. And he's already expecting, because, you know, they had the interior decorator conversation about their place, their shared space. Mm-hmm. And then he gets into her place and he's pleasantly surprised.
I was too, because I was expecting it to look pretty plain. I mean, you've seen my house. My house is staged, but it's very clean.
It's actually the model home. Nice. Yes, but go ahead.
And Chloe's looked the same. I was like, all right, I like your style. I totally get that. And then the trunk that she's using as a coffee table that was her grandfather's from World War II. I thought that was really cool. I mean, it's a great conversation piece to have in your house. I get that. But just the fact that this was something your grandfather had in World War II, I just liked it. I don't have any type of heirlooms from, you know, my grandparents, you know, from my dad. My dad passed. I have his two guns. That's about it. But I'm not going to decorate those and eat off of them. But I have them. But that's about all I have. So I thought that was cool that she had that, and the fact that she did it herself. Yeah. You know, it just says that there's an extra level of love that she put into those.
Yeah, it was really nice. And then there were other things that he noticed, things that they were going to bring, including the pink globe and something that you noticed a lot, which was the golden pineapple.
So when I saw the golden pineapple, and I don't know about y'all, but if y'all know what an upside down pineapple means, that's what I was thinking that this was. I'm like, why does Chloe have...
Was it upside down, though?
It wasn't, but okay. You can get a pineapple, turn it upside down, and that signals something for people that are in a certain lifestyle. And so I was like, oh, shoot, maybe Chloe is a little more open than we thought because she's rocking the pineapple and going to bring you with her. So look it up.
What does it mean when it's on the side?
You're thinking about swinging?
No, I'm just asking, what does it mean?
Yeah, you're thinking about swinging, but when it's fully upside down, you're like, I'm ready to swing. But when you're laying there, you're just like, maybe if the right couple came along, I would be open to it. But I think that you know, that's what swingers have, the upside down pineapple. So I just thought, like, but I'm like, why would you bring the pink glow? But whatever. Yeah.
He just wants the colors. That's what he likes, the colors, right? And Mimi says, I don't see Chloe being a swinger. Well, her pineapple was right side up. That's right. For later. And 2 years deep in the relationship, she may flip it on the side. Or turn it all the way over.
As like Nikki B says, it's your birthday, so... upside down.
Now that's what you call a callback.
Yeah, we're going to get a home run. Turn this pineapple upside down. Happy birthday to you.
You know, CXM said, never heard of that. Learn something new every day. Yep, because Pink Butterfly also said the same thing. Wait, upside down pineapple means what? And Sarah says, I didn't know pineapple meant swinging. Upside down pineapple there, Sarah. It's upside down. I didn't know this either. I'm not going to say who actually brought that to my attention. I'm not going to say who it was. However, I learned that today, too.
I read a lot. I look up things.
Yo, Sean, you got your friend high in here right now, man.
Hey, there's right now there's three of us in here. So it's to me, this is a frat party. Y'all just here for the ride. So Charles, Sean, tear it up.
So Michael sees all this color, sees all these decorations. And it is very well. Her apartment is very neat, right? He says she's not as much of a minimalist as he originally thought she was.
Yeah, I was laughing because Sarah Yanni said the exact same thing. Like, what does an upside down pineapple cake mean? He literally said the exact same thing tonight when I told him what upside down pineapple was. So
I was like, I had no idea. That's what it meant when I was eating this upside down pineapple cake.
That's what it means.
Does it mean I like it means you from down to dessert?
It means you down for a little something fun.
It means I like ice cream with my cake. Mix it up. So,
I did think that I was expecting her place to be, as what Michael called it, pretty sterile as well. Mm-hmm. So she is a minimalist, and the stuff that she has either has meaning or there's a reason that she has it. She just doesn't have crap all through her house. So I can respect that. What I don't understand was the whole duvet situation. Like, that seems the most odd way to put it on the bed. And you people in the chat, educate me, because I just don't understand. You know, why he had to do all that climbing and the deal to put the duvet together.
Well, you know, it's a weird way to do it, but it worked for her and it served a dual purpose. Because Michael seemed to enjoy it.
You get in there. You get those covers.
Not as much as he enjoyed what happened next, though. He saw her pearls and was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Okay. So here we are with the pearls. And so this is Nikki B, you're up. So Michael, because let's just say this is not going to work out, because I don't think it will after the way Chloe's reaction. Would you be down with Michael wearing your pearls? So here's the thing. I like Michael. I don't think this is the right show for him. And here's why I say that. If it was Love is Blind, where, you know, you can talk a little bit about your style or whatever, I think the other person will get a chance to understand what you're about and then meet you. It's great. Mm-hmm. Married at First Sight, New York? Sure. Married at First Sight, L.A.? Sure. Mm-hmm. Probably even Austin. But mm-hmm. Denver, not many women like that, I would think. And I'm sure yeah. there are plenty of women in Denver that could be open to somebody that could be what people consider metro mm-hmm. or whatever. But the way he was going on with the pearls and all that, I think Chloe was just like, no.
Yeah. I mean, she just went like, huh? And I, you can understand why she had a little bit of hesitation. And she, again, Michael started to get comfortable. And sometimes you get comfortable a little too quickly and things, and this is just one. We get to his apartment and the first thing we notice is that he's Ace Ventura, pet detective, you know, with his dog and two cats in the way. This is the way I greet Mello every time I come in. After I've been away for a while, I lay on the floor and let him do what he wants.
You got to greet him properly. And you're not a dog lover, so you can't relate. But there's nothing more exciting than coming home and your dog is so excited to see you. I wouldn't let the dog lick me in the face like Michael did, but that's their relationship, not mine. Mm-hmm. And then you had the cat, whatever. But two. Overall,
there were two.
Mike, was it two? I thought I only saw
Franklin
one.
Franklin and Graham. There were two cats. They just
got
it. They both had smushed in noses, but it was two cats.
They look like Graham. I thought looked like remember Grumpy Cat?
Yes.
Looked like a relative of Grumpy Cat. That's what it looked like mm-hmm. to me. But I was quite impressed with Michael's place. I didn't know what to expect, and it looked to me like he has a bachelor pad, yet that has style. Mm-hmm. You know, some guys have a bachelor pad where ladies walk in. It's like, oh, wow, you really need a woman's touch. I don't think he needs that. Mm-hmm. So I liked his place. I liked the little arcade game. Give him something to do and relax. He has a beautiful view when he's working. So I dug that. Then we get to the closet.
Okay. I was underwhelmed when he opened it. And it seemed like Chloe was too. Didn't you expect a lot more?
No. It's not that I expected it to be more, because it's a lot. And he had an overflow closet. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect it to be a lot more than that, but he had a lot. And there was a method to his badness. This is where my, you know, slacks are. This is where my dress shirts. This is for my going out wear. He had a plan. And I had no issue with it, minus all the boxes. But that's because the restaurant person in me for years, I was always taught boxes attract roaches. So I don't like having a bunch of boxes in my house.
True.
And so I'm like, well, you need to get rid of all those boxes. You might get some roaches. Mm-hmm. It's when he pulled out the skirt and the two skirts and the pink puffy jacket.
Oh, they're two.
Yeah. And when he pulled those out, I'm just looking at Chloe the whole time. I'm like, and there it is. It's like we could all hear her dry up like that. But like, it's done.
Desert.
Yeah.
Yo, Black Clinton says original wife is somewhere thinking she dodged a bullet. She's probably looking at it like, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah, he's eccentric. He's his own guy. And so I don't knock him for being who he is. Mm-hmm. It's just Chloe doesn't like it. So it's not that Michael's wrong for however he wants to dress, what he wants to wear, all that. It's just, I don't think it's going to be a vibe for Chloe. And like her whole face and body language was just like, oh, wow. You know, or I'm sorry, as Chloe would say, holy smokes.
Look, Chrissy says it well. I like Michael, but he is truly the epitome of you be doing too much, especially this early in the game. And that's the thing. He got too comfortable too early. And we see that. I mean, then... that's not enough. Then he disappoints Chloe even more when he presented her with his pink puffer jacket.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Nikki B, a.k.a. Leave My Man Alone, it was a skirt. Get it right.
It was a skirt.
Yeah, it's a skirt. it is. That's totally fine. But
And he still should be wearing a skirt. It's not a kilt.
Well, you know... I wouldn't wear a pink puffy jacket. And I'm not saying it's wrong. And when you look, I think Michael grew up, he'd been in LA for 10 years mm-hmm. before he came to Denver. And I forget where he was before that. And so he has a total different fashion sense. But I just think all of that at once for Chloe, mm-hmm. holy smokes, that's a lot.
Look, like Shante said, she said, oh, he's got more skirts than I have.
Yeah, I mean, if I can give Michael feedback, if you're watching this episode, next time, mm-hmm. ease him into it. Yep. Break out one skirt and then move on to some other stuff. And then the next week, oh, it's a little cold outside. Would you like to wear one of my jackets? This one goes well with your outfit. It's a pink puffer. Mm-hmm. You know, ease them into it, but you just dump all that stuff out at once. That's a lot probably for someone like a Chloe to be able to take in.
So, like Toya said, Michael couldn't read the room. He was doing too much. And basically because he says in the confessional, like, you know, she's so accepting of my style. And so he breaks everything out. And we see even more of this as we get a little further. Let's get back to the retreat real quick. It's day two, and Lauren and Claire go to play basketball. Quite terribly, I must admit to.
Why are you saying that Lauren should be good? Because
she's tall.
Is that why? Automatically, she should be good at basketball? What are you trying to say? No, stereotype. Well, they both shouldn't have been there. They could have not came on this trip at all. Mm-hmm. But they're both kind of talking about pretty much nothing.
Right.
You know, Claire said that she was apprehensive about coming, but and so did Lauren. And she again talked about how she keeps worrying about Cameron, but he's the type that wants to do things on his own. And I just think he just doesn't want to talk to her. That's just all it boils down to. And then, of course, Lauren getting into her feels about Orion. You know, they're not on any terms, not good or bad, not on any terms. And she doesn't understand why he, you know, doesn't try more to build a friendship. I'm just like, Jesus, Lauren, let it go. Move on.
Yeah. You know, their conversation we could have done without, honestly, really completely. But something else we probably could have done without as well, even though they did seem to enjoy it. So maybe we did need to see them have some fun. Becca and Austin, they go to the spa, and it's just a little bit different.
A little bit different. So for those that watch the after party, so they go to this spa, and they were going to get this beating. The guy that was in that, according to Austin in the after party, he doesn't work there. He's a regular that just goes there all the time and then offers this to people. And so the owners of the place are like, hey, do you want to be on Married at First Sight and do this whole deal with them? Mm-hmm. Because when I saw the guy come out the sauna, I'm like, yeah, I got it warmed up for you. I'm like, what in the world? What in the upside down pineapple is about to go on right here? Because this seems weird. And then when he broke out the hat, I was like, oh, Austin's going to want that hat.
Yep.
And he's got to go to buy a hat. He's going to order a hat or something. But that whole thing was, you know, beating them with the leaves and all that. Apparently, you know, Becca said it was very relaxing and all that stuff. But to me, it was a little different.
Definitely. And then they went under some cold water. I didn't understand what happened after the beating. They got beat with the bush and then it was like, okay. And why didn't Austin give some love taps to Becca with the bush? Instead, had the strange man who doesn't even work there beating her with a bush.
Maybe that's his kink. So, yeah, you hit her with it. You get her again. You miss the spot one more time. Who's a dirty girl?
I'm gonna leave that one. At least they have fun. At least they have fun. Look, let's get back to this couple here, man. Chloe and Michael. They're getting ready for their meeting with Pastor Cal. And when I say getting too comfortable, oh, I love your earrings. Will you let me wear those big ass hoop earrings? I would love, I don't need both. I just need one. And he's wearing pearl earrings at the same time he's asking this.
Yeah. I think you're right. It's just too much at once. Mm-hmm. And I think for Chloe, she's just like, Jesus, you already put my pearls on, and then you break out the skirts and the pink puffer. Like, I need a second because I'm still processing that. Now you want to wear the earrings I have on right now. Mm-hmm. So she's like, well, once Pastor Cal leaves, do you. But I this is where I think Chloe is wrong.
Yeah.
If you have an issue with it, say Michael's being genuine, he's being himself, say something.
Yeah.
Say, hey, can we talk for a little bit? I need you to dial that back just a little bit for me. Mm-hmm. Because it is totally not helping me feel more attracted to you sexually. By you doing this, I get it. This is a different experience. I'm being open to it. I'm trying my best. But I'm going to need you to, like, take it down. You're at an 8. I need you at about a 4.
Crystal has a great question. Was Michael trolling her with all that? Was he just testing her boundaries? Let's see how much I can do before she finally says something. Because she hasn't said anything except to the camera, like, I never thought I'd be married to a man that wanted to wear my pearls.
But what would he have to gain by doing that?
Not a damn thing. But that's why Nubian Mahogany says Michael is nervous.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's testing her. I think he's just, hey, everything seems cool. I'm going to keep opening up and sharing more, thinking maybe that's going to help her feel more comfortable when it's really starting to kind of push her away. But I think she needs to speak up and say something so he understands, because he thinks that she's liking all this stuff.
Yeah, like Dina says, they're like girlfriends who share fashion. Look, it's sometimes too easy to get comfortable, right? And we find this out because when Pastor Cal comes and he's like, oh, you guys look great together. Are you happy that he got a chance to do better? And then Chloe comes in and says, look, 2 years ago, there's no way I'd have done this. But I'm here because, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have the mental or emotional strength to do this and to marry a stranger. But I am here. And then she tells Pastor Cal, and who would have thought I'd, because he goes, especially with this guy. She goes, yeah, he's wearing my jewelry.
Yeah, I mean, she's trying to kind of put it out there a little bit. Uh-huh. And I think Michael's not picking up on the cue. And I'm hoping maybe next week's episode, he might say, hey, can we talk for a second? I noticed you seemed a little frustrated or bothered with some of my actions. Let's talk through it. Maybe he will help her open up with that.
Here's the thing about that, though. Even when she said that he's wearing the jewelry, he goes, well, she started it. On the honeymoon, she was wearing my flannel shirt. That's not the same. Even Pastor Cal was like, Mike, come on.
Hey, yeah. Bro.
Stop that.
Yeah. My wife wears my shirt too, but that's not, I don't wear her jewelry. It's different. And that's a valid thing. And, Chloe said that she's not used to a man that leans so much into his feminine side. Mm-hmm. But here's what I thought was interesting, because we always give the experts a hard time. Mm-hmm. So Chloe said, Michael is a man she would have never chosen for herself. Right. But I think he has all of the character traits, values, and qualities she's looking for in a man, and that's what they found. It's just the outside package isn't what she's used to, but everything on the inside. I mean, if Michael was a big, burly dude that goes out chopping wood in Denver, mm-hmm. but he treats her the same way this Michael is doing, mm-hmm. she'd be on board.
Because here's what she said. What you've given me is a man I wouldn't have chosen for myself. But right before she said that, she said, well, my norm hasn't been working for me. So here's what I give, and this is why I get it. Everybody was ready to jump on her and jump on Michael as we started this live and say, look, yeah, they ain't gonna work. I told you Chloe didn't like it. But she even said she asked for a man with a heart of gold, and that's who she got. As you just kind of said, if the way he's treating her, the way he makes her feel, the way he said to her, made her cry look, be selfish.
Yeah.
The things that no man has ever told her, and especially not told her in a skirt. I'm sorry. This is still something that.
But, I mean, that's just it. Everything that she said she wanted, Michael has. It's just the outside part is she's struggling with, because she wants to be attracted. She wants to desire him, and these actions that he's doing, not that they're bad, it just doesn't do it for her to turn her on or make her into him. So hopefully they kind of work through that a little bit next week. But I do like how Pastor Cal was trying to poke and prod to find out, are y'all doing it yet or what? Are you getting into anything? But I like the fact that he said, and this is what we talk about all the time when Married at First Sight, don't be afraid to be married.
Right.
You are married. It's have sex. It's not a bad thing because you're married.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And here's what I liked about that too. Chloe says she thinks their emotional connection is growing, right? And she likes that Michael is attracted to her, because she's like, look, if it wasn't, I'll wrap this up because this ain't happening. If he wasn't trying to get at me. So apparently Michael is not just aggressive in the boxing ring. He's, he's letting it be known. Hey, look, I'll wrap you up in that duvet. I'll jump in there and help you straighten this thing out or mess it all up again.
Yeah, I mean, he's in it to win it. I get it. But is what it is.
Now, Nubian Mahogany is not on board with us. They're always pushing these couples to have sex. Well, I don't think they're pushing them to have sex, but they're telling them, hey, don't be afraid to, because you say, oh, I just met this person. You're married. You knew this. You got married.
Well, I think they push them to have sex because the odds of the success rate for the relationship is probably higher if they actually consummate the marriage, right? And it's going to bring them closer. I'm assuming that's what it is.
Prime Napper says, Pastor Cal, a.k.a. Captain, consummate the marriage. Tehu says, Pastor Cal is like, go ahead and tap that. Yo, the thing about it, and yes, by the way, Chow, yes, Michael Boxes, you forgot about that, right? If he agreed to never wear a skirt and stop wearing my jewelry, I'd try. That's funny. If you stop asking for my earrings, don't wear my pearls, don't ask for my hoops, just go ahead and burn the skirts. Let's do it. We can wrap up the duvet right now. That's what she said. And Allison is right. So if you sign up to be married, why not have sex? This is something you've said from the very beginning. It is not married to be best friends. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You've said that from the very beginning of us. This. Well, the last thing that happened on this, before we get to the comments that we didn't get to a little earlier, we have quite a few just sitting over there. So, but Emily and Brennan, they go ATV riding, and the bad thing is they already told us what was going to happen in the preview, right?
Right.
And then they go on this extremely long ride just to keep us glued to the TV for 30 seconds, maybe 35 to be exact. I don't know. I'm just throwing a number out there. To see how and why this happened. Did you figure it out?
No, because it looked like she veered off to the right somehow, lost control. Because the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, they don't seem to be going that fast. What could have happened? And I think she kind of veered off somewhere, maybe lost control of it. And then it's kind of like maybe when you're a kid, when you lose control, you just kick your legs out and just kind of let the bike roll. Yeah. I feel like she did that, and it looks like it flipped. But she had a nasty fall, even with the helmet on. I mean, her head was that was pretty tough to look at. It was gross.
It was, but okay. I'm right here with Mimi, right? Because this is the first time that Brennan actually showed concern for Emily. I mean, he is actually rubbing her hand. That's like third base for them.
Well, so I thought about that too, but then I was like, wait a minute. I think if Brennan was truly concerned, mm-hmm. as soon as it happened, it would have been just a quick, let me go run and check on my wife. He gets off. He's like, is she okay? And I bet his first thought is, this girl's always getting hurt. Falls out the shower. She does this.
How much did she drink before we went on this?
Yeah. So he stood and looked. And then once he realized this is serious, it's like, okay, wait a minute. Camera's on me. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me hold hand. I don't know. I would hope that Brennan was truly concerned about her. Because I think any human being should be concerned about another human being, whether you're married, mm-hmm. dating them, or a stranger. Anybody gets hurt like that, you should care. But mm-hmm. I'm hoping his is genuine, because we've not seen him do this much, showing this much care and concern for Emily all season.
So Nikki B says Brennan was holding her wound too. Yes, he was. He was putting pressure on the wound. And even through all of this, what you've said, what I've said, and what some of the people have said, there are a lot of people in the comments who are saying things like Shantae's, like, Brennan looked inconvenienced by Emily's entrance. Like, he just looked, let's see, what'd you say? JT said he still had a sour face. Like, Sandmate says he's trying to look good on TV. I'm like, hey, are we going to give this man any? He showed some concern. He said he stayed there. We looked at the blood, right? And I remember as I'm trying to catch up on it, it didn't look real. It looked like, is that food coloring? But like Ariadne says, I heard head lacerations tend to bleed a lot because there was a lot of blood.
And she probably already had some drinks, which means, you know, blood could be flowing a little bit smoother. I'm going to assume a positive intent here and not say that this was staged or it was fake, because someone's hurt, someone's injured. I'm just going to assume that it was real. And I hope that Emily's okay. We know she is because we've seen her on the after party, but that still looked very scary. And I couldn't imagine being in a situation where she's asking, like, am I okay? Mm-hmm. Am I going to be okay? I mean, because you just have no idea in an accident like that. And it's already, you're cold, so you don't know, like, can I not feel something because I can't feel it anymore? Or is it just cold out here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, for real. Dina says, Brennan may just have RBG. He seemed genuinely concerned. Even though John is still going, hey, fake concern. Nubian Mahogany saying, it didn't look real. I mean, yeah, it did look really red, but... And it seemed like a lot, but like you said, we know Emily likes to drink.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't work in a hospital or an ER. I don't see a whole lot of head traumas to compare it to, to say that's not really real. But regardless, she was hurt. It looked real to me. So I'm just going to assume that it was real and just show concern for them to just try to keep putting out there that it was fake.
Damn it, Tammy. He handed her a rag and said, clean yourself up once they stop filming. y'all are so mean sometimes, man. Thankfully, there's some. Tehu says, I hope she's okay.
Yeah.
Dante says, my heart broke for her. See, there are levels to this.
Yeah. So, and I mean, she was very calm, but I think she's been an athlete for a long time. You get hurt, you know not to like freak out. And again, you're probably cold, so she might not feel as much pain. She just knows there's a lot of blood. So who knows? But, you know, we know that she's going to be fine because she's on the after parties. But yeah, that looked a little scary. So we'll have to see what happens next week.
Indeed. You know, as we go through some of these other comments in here, Gina said, Facebook group polled if Brennan is the biggest a-hole to date on Married at First Sight. Christopher Atlanta won by a landslide.
Jesus.
He's never going to live it down, man.
Let my man Chris alone. Dude's trying. Who's trying?
They don't care.
This is why we started the podcast. You can kick people out of society, but what do they got to do to get back into your good graces? And we can't say people forever, you know, we're better than that.
No, it's obviously not. Allison, as we work backwards here, had said, if you can look past the fashion, I think Michael is a woman's man. He aims to please his woman. He knows exactly what to say. And he's proven that time and time again. He's brought Chloe to tears with his kind words. When she's feeling uncomfortable, he's there to, hey, you're not alone. It's okay. It's okay to be in those feelings. So, you know?
You're right, but I think there's some opportunity there.
Kelly says, I still love Michael. He's the best. This guy has confidence and gives me hope that there are good guys out there, even if they wear skirts, pearl earrings, and your pearl necklace. But I added the last part, but yeah.
Did you? Okay. Oh, I got to call this one out. Where is it at? Sinan's fan says, so Michael in the closet or out the closet? So Keisha asked him at the after party, like, hey, is it okay if I ask you that? Are you straight? Are you whatever? And he confirmed that he's straight.
Yeah.
He's just different, but he is 100% straight according to him. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that he's in the closet. He's just different.
Shante says, Michael is Bennett from New Orleans and he needs an Amelia. They didn't last either, though. Let's be honest. Because they ended up in Richmond after I already left Richmond, and then they didn't last long there. Tara G had asked, what woman wants a husband who wants to wear her granny's pearls? And Pink Butterfly said, Michael can help me get ready for my sorority meetings.
He did. He did have on Deaconess Johnson's pearls.
He's like, is this the way it's supposed to be worn? You know how it's supposed to be worn. Stop playing with me, Mike. I wanted to see Chloe say that. Now that would have been right. Stop playing with me. By the way, you know the whole pineapple conversation with Michael. Mm-hmm. We had about Michael and Chloe. And some people were saying that, you know, Chloe looks a little prude and starfish and that, oh, she wouldn't be into swinging. And Dina says, I know some unsuspecting swingers. She could be. And then she said after that, Terrell's in the life.
No, Cheryl just knows things. I drink and I know things. So,
all right, Tyrion Lannister.
Yeah, I knew about that, but she's right. I mean, I've come across some swingers in my day. I worked with someone when I was a manager at Applebee's, and she just wound up telling me this, and I would have had no clue that that's what she was into. So you never know. Chloe could be down with a little something strange.
Yeah, you know, just like that judge who was chastising somebody in court and tried to hit on them in a swingers chat. Did you see that story? I was like, what the heck? Oh, by the way, a lot of stuff in the chat. If you're listening to this on your favorite podcast platform, do yourself a favor. Come to the YouTube channel and watch with the live chat replay. You're welcome. Because as Whitney said earlier, whole chat is unhinged this week. Y'all were on fire this week.
It's y'all's fault. It's not ours. Y'all started it. We just added a little something on the end.
Ariana said, this live is sponsored by first, second, and third base.
Whatever those may be, because obviously we're not all on the same page.
That's what Black Tornado said. Third base is clearly very undefined. And, you know, to wrap up the whole what exactly is a home run, Christy says, hey, a home run is when we're both happy and snoring.
But I could be happy and snoring after facing the nation. So after third base, I can go to sleep. I don't have to come all the way home. I don't know about anyone else. I'm just saying. I could have a good nap after third base.
Is it still a race? Is it first to finish wins? There's stories to be told. There's stories to be told. Yeah. And by the way, Keedy said, and this is early on, wait, I missed the first 2 minutes. Yanni, did you say you were moving to Ted Cruz, Abbott country? Yes, I am. We're hitting it. Terrell's literally downstairs right now. And he's here not picking up one thing to put in any box at all because he's here for one reason and one reason only.
I'm here to drive. I'm here to help drive. I'm keeping you company in the U-Haul. We're not in the U-Haul right now. We're surrounded by boxes that you're going to fill with stuff and you're going to put into the U-Haul. And then I'll get in the driver's seat and be like, all right, let's roll. And you got to work on changing it.
Stacey.
Come Saturday, you are a Texan. You're one of us. Be again. Proud. Again. We can still, I hate Ted Cruz too. So we can still hate them together, but you're a Texan.
Well, see, I'm coming to Texas to do my part. And vote against Ted Cruz.
Well, good. Well, don't. All I'm saying is, don't come to Texas with that. Not my senator bullshit. Yes, he is your senator because you're a Texan now. You just don't like him, and neither do I.
I'm just acting like the red side of the country. When they say not my president, well, then I can say that too.
You can say it, but it's not true. So.
Hey, like Miss J said, that's what friends are for. So I appreciate you for doing it, man. So you know, definitely.
And he even bought you out back tonight, see?
Yeah.
I told him earlier, I was like, look, I'm an asshole, but I'm nice. I take care of you. I feed you. bought him some Outback.
Hey, now, obviously what that means, we're going to be on the road tomorrow, so we're not going to have Ready to Love tomorrow night, obviously, right? So, and then, of course, we have a Super Bowl to win on Sunday, so we can't do it Sunday. We as in we, the 49ers.
Okay. I didn't know you were on the team. So,
I guess we'll probably do what, Monday?
I think we said, I think maybe Tuesday, because you also have another trip on Monday, right?
I do. You're right. Gee.
So we can try Monday night. I'm available.
It'll be late Monday night, so let's just do Tuesday.
Okay.
We'll do Ready to Love Tuesday. Because Monday night's a late flight. Yeah. Changing time zones again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll do Tuesday. And then, of course, back here next Thursday for Married at First Sight, where we get to see Michael said, you want to talk about my damn skirt? Watch what I do on this wall.
Yeah.
What? You thought I dried up the desert? Watch the Pacific Ocean come.
And for those of you that saw our skydiving adventure, that we posted, we were posting on our Instagram, and then Yanni put a big video together and put that on YouTube. But if you're not following us on IG, add us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, because we're going to be sharing a lot of little fun videos of our 15-hour journey with each other.
And hopefully none of them on the side of the road.
Not while I'm driving. You're in good hands.
Oh my God. Hey, we love you guys, man. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.